Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8 this morning, please. Proverbs chapter 8. Our theme for this year here at Calvary Baptist Church, as many of you know, is continuing discipleship. And we have learned that a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus Christ. We find Jesus' own definition of a disciple in the book of John, chapter number 8, verse 31. He says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So a disciple is somebody who is continuing to live in obedience to the words of Jesus Christ and in submission to his authority. The essence of true discipleship is following Jesus' leadership, acknowledging his lordship, and walking in his ways instead of our own. Now, at the start of the year, I preached a series called Continue. It was about that concept of discipleship. And then after that, I preached another series on some specific steps of discipleship from Acts chapter number 2. The title of that series was The Way Things Ought to Be. And we learned how things ought to be in a church that is in love with Jesus Christ and how things ought to be in the lives of individual believers as well. But now, having finished up that series, I would like to begin a new series that I am calling Discipleship 102, Continuing the Journey. When you're in college, if you've been to college or you're on your way to college, you may be aware that they use a certain numbering system for courses at the college level. Typically, your 100-level classes are your entry-level classes, your freshman classes, 200-level, sophomore, junior levels, 300, senior levels, 400. And so when I'm calling this Discipleship 102, I'm borrowing from that numbering system. It's kind of like that series I preached on The Way Things Ought to Be. That was the 101 class, if you will. That was the first semester of basic discipleship, and now we're going to go on to the second semester of basic discipleship. In that first series, we covered several of the steps of discipleship. We talked about salvation, baptism, church membership, participation in church fellowship. Most recently, we've been learning about prayer. But now in this new series, as we move on to Discipleship 102, I want to preach about several other specific steps of discipleship, including personal devotions and witnessing and Bible study, temptations, trials, serving Jesus Christ, maybe some other steps of discipleship as well. And I've taught on many of these in the past. As a matter of fact, I've taught in depth on Wednesday nights, whole series on some of these aspects of discipleship. But this series is going to be different because I'm going to be preaching more than teaching. And I would like to start this morning with a topic that is very familiar to many of you, and that is the priority of personal devotions. Let me define my term. What do I mean when I say personal devotions? It's otherwise known as a quiet time or a God and I time. When I'm talking about a personal devotions, I'm referring to that time when a believer gets alone with God for personal interaction with God. And I want to emphasize right here at the start of this message that personal devotions are a critically important step of discipleship. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to spend some quality daily time hearing His voice in the Word. I mean, how are you going to know what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do if you're not listening to Him, if you're not really seeking His will on a regular basis in His Word? Now, of course, we know it's also very important to spend quality daily time with the Lord in prayer. But since I've been preaching quite a bit about prayer lately, that's the other essential aspect of personal devotions. But we've talked about that a lot lately, so I'm not going to be focusing on that today. Today I want to focus on the other half of our daily dialogue with God, not where we talk to God in prayer, but when we listen to what God wants to say to us in His Word. And so our text for this morning here is in Proverbs chapter number 8. In Proverbs chapter number 8, God's wisdom is personified as a wise woman who teaches others to be wise as well. And wisdom speaks very directly to us in this chapter. She speaks to us in the first person. But I want you to understand that since God is the source of all wisdom, that her voice, wisdom's voice, is actually the voice of God. For example, back in Proverbs chapter number 1, where wisdom speaks in Proverbs chapter number 1, she says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And that is really God talking, because God is the one who gives us his spirit and his word to make us wise. So the appeal and the promises of wisdom in our text this morning here in Proverbs chapter number 8 are from God in himself. Seeking wisdom in that biblical sense is the same as seeking God. And the way we seek wisdom is the same way that we seek God. We seek him and we find him in the pages of his word. All right, so with that introduction, with that understanding, now I have 2 points that I would like to share with you this morning about personal devotions from Proverbs chapter number 8. Point number 1, let's consider first of all the motive for personal devotions. The motive for personal devotions. Would you look at verse 17, please, of Acts chapter number 8. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." I believe there are many good reasons why we should seek God in the pages of his word. And so let me just share some of those reasons with you very briefly this morning. Why we should seek God in his word. Number 1, we should seek God in his word to receive daily spiritual nourishment. Because the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is our daily necessary spiritual food. And so just like we need to eat physical food every day in order to stay healthy, so we need spiritual food. And that spiritual food is the Word of God. It is our milk, it is our meat, and it is our daily manna as well. It is new and fresh every morning, just like the manna that God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness with during their wilderness wanderings. God gives it to us every day. It's just ready to be gathered up in the cool of the day. We should seek God every day in His Word to receive our spiritual nourishment from God. A second reason that we should seek God in His Word is to become wise. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:15 that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise. And that is the message of Proverbs chapter number 8 as well. When we get into God's Word, God will teach us how to apply the truths of this book to our lives. And that is wisdom, applying the truth. All right, so we should seek God in His Word to become wise. And then number 3, we should also seek Him in His Word to become mature in Christ. Going on in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, when it says perfect, that doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. That means complete, okay? That means mature in Christ. God has given us His Word to grow us up into the image of Christ, to make us like the Lord Jesus, and to equip us to do good works that are pleasing to God. And so we should be seeking God in His Word so that we can become mature, grown up in Christ. And then number 4, we need to seek God in His Word so that we can be strengthened for spiritual combat. So that we can be strengthened for spiritual combat. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Bible says, take that sword. That means grab it. That means hold on tight to it. As a matter of fact, if you study that armor of God passage in Ephesians 6, you will see that every single piece of the armor that God has given to us is related to the Word of God in some way. And so it is critically important that we spend time in the Word before going out into the battle. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we need to do everything so that we can stand in the evil day. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The thing is, nobody gives you a calendar that has on it marked, okay, this one here is going to be the evil day. I mean, that's going to be the day when you are going to be subjected to a particularly difficult temptation, when the devil is really going to come after you. Those days are not marked on in a calendar. You don't know when the evil day is going to be when you start that day. And so it is critically important that you prepare yourself for whatever lies ahead at the start of every day by seeking God in His Word, so that you can be equipped with the Word of God, and you'll have some weaponry to wield against the wicked one when he comes your way. So we need to seek God in His Word so that we can be strengthened for spiritual combat. Number five, we also need to do it so that we can be filled up for service. So that we can be filled up for service. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha, two of His disciples, and Martha was a servant, and so she was in the kitchen preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Mary, her sister, was sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His Word. Well, Martha got upset because Mary was slacking, as she thought. And so she went out and actually almost rebuked the Lord Jesus. Why aren't you telling Mary to come help me in the kitchen? And look at what Jesus said to Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. He answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He was telling Martha, no, Martha, I'm not going to tell Mary that she has to get up and stop listening to my teaching and go work in the kitchen, because she's chosen something better than what you've chosen. And really what he was telling her is actually what you need to do is you need to come sit at my feet and hear my word as well, I think. So folks, it is very important that before we try to serve the Lord, that we spend time sitting at the feet of the Lord and hearing His Word. Otherwise, if you don't do that, if you try to serve the Lord without spending time with the Lord, you are sure to become cumbered in your serving, just like Martha. You're going to become stressed out. You will burn out in your service. I can personally testify that without the filling that comes from drinking every day from the fountain of God's Word, I would have run dry in my service for Christ a long time ago. I mean, there are many times I come into my personal devotions and just to be very transparent, I'm running on fumes. Maybe I don't feel very well. Maybe I'm somewhat discouraged. Maybe I'm just flat out tired. But I walk out of my appointment with God a changed man, because God lifts me up in that time with the Lord, and He gives me the strength to carry on. He gives me the strength to serve Him. Believer, if you're going to minister to others, you have to be filled yourself. And so it's very important for us, if we're going to serve the Lord, that we seek God daily in His Word. These are all some good reasons, all five of these. These are all beneficial byproducts of seeking God in His Word. It's our daily spiritual nourishment. It will make us wise. It'll make us mature in Christ. It'll equip us for the spiritual warfare, and it will fill us up for service. But guess what, folks? None of those is the primary reason why we should seek God in His Word. We find the number one reason, the number one motive for seeking God in the pages of the Scripture right here in our text. Look back at verse number 17. What does it say again? It says, I love them that love me. And so the main reason why we should seek God in His Word every single day is because we love the Lord. All right, so there it is. Why we should seek Him. I put it in bold because this is the main reason, okay? Because we love the Lord. The most basic reason to have personal devotions is because there's no other place that you'd rather be than in God's presence to satisfy the desires of your heart. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 63. He said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, the psalmist said, I'm hungering for God. I'm thirsting for God. He is my desire, and therefore I'm going to seek Him out. And so our love for God motivates us as the psalmist said, to seek God early, to seek Him diligently as our first priority. You know, when I was younger, I maintained a personal devotions fairly regularly, or somewhat regularly. When I was younger, I did that primarily as a discipline, okay? Or maybe even you would say as a duty. I mean, I knew it was something that I needed to do. You know what? That is okay. And there's still an aspect of discipline involved for me in having my daily devotions. I need to be disciplined about that. It's better to have the discipline of personal devotions than to have no personal devotions at all. But I can also tell you that as I grew in my personal walk with the Lord, my primary motivation for having devotions also grew as well. It grew from a duty to a delight. That's really my primary motivation today, I believe, is because I really desire to spend some sweet time in the presence of the Savior. Now, and I'm not setting myself up here as the person who has arrived, okay? I'm well aware of the fact that there's plenty of room in my life for me to grow in my own personal love and devotion for the Lord. But I can also tell you that any day that I do not spend time with the Lord is a bad day. And I don't really want to have those kinds of days. On the other hand, any day that is spent with God is a good day. And I've enjoyed some wonderful times in the presence of the Lord. There have been times when the Lord has opened up my eyes to understanding. He's illuminated the Scriptures to my understanding in a way that has overwhelmed my soul. There are times when I come into my time with God and His Word. I've got all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of things going through my head. And the Lord, in a single verse, cuts through all of that wrong thinking. And He shows me the right way that I should be thinking. There are times when God comforts my heart from His Word. There are times, as I testified a moment ago, where God strengthens me from the Scripture. He puts a new spring in my step and enables me to move out into the day. There are times when God has given me very specific leading for big decisions in my life. As I have spent time in the Word, He has given me that guidance from the Scripture. And I also want you to understand that I've enjoyed wonderful times in the presence of the Lord, not because I was seeking a wonderful experience, but because I was seeking the Lord. And you can too, believer. You can also seek Him that same way. My life verse is Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The psalmist said, Lord, you know what? There is one thing that I want in my life, and that one thing is You, O God. I just want You. I just want to be able to dwell close to You. I want to be able to see Your beauty, Your glory. I want to be able to inquire of You. Anytime I need wisdom, anytime I need guidance, anytime I need counseling, anytime I need provision, I'm going to You because You are my God. You are my number one and the number one thing that I desire in life more than anyone or anything else. The psalmist also said in Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in Thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The psalmist said, you know what? One day lived close to God in the presence of God is better than 1,000 days lived somewhere else. He said, you know what? I would rather be a doorkeeper. The idea there is he's standing outside keeping the door, right? Letting people in and out. And inside is the presence and the glory of God. He said, I would rather stand at the door of God's dwelling place. If I could just get open that door just a crack. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to walk over here, okay? Let's just pretend that this is the dwelling place of God, okay? The psalmist said, I would rather be able to do this, you know, I'd rather be able to just look in and see in there the glory of God. If that was as close as I could ever come to the presence of God, I'd rather stand here at the door than live a whole lifetime enjoying the best things that this world has to offer somewhere far from Him. That was his primary motivation. He said, you know what? I desire the Lord. So let me ask you, Christian, how about you? Do you have the heartbeat of the psalmist for the presence of your Savior? That same kind of a heartbeat that motivates you to seek God in the pages of His Word? Believer, if you are not delighting in personal fellowship with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day, then you are missing out on the greatest joy of your Christian life. Because the core, the essence, the very heart of the Christian life is your personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just the first love of the church. You remember we talked about that in our last series, the way things ought to be? The way things ought to be is the church ought to be in love with Jesus. First and foremost, He should be our one love. But folks, that's not just true for a church. That's true for every individual believer. He should be your one love, your number one, your first love. And if you love Him, you will seek Him. You will set aside some of your first and best time for Him, and then He will delight to reveal Himself to you. Would you look back at our text, please? Look at verse 17, where God says, I love them that love Me. Now, that does not mean that God does not love you if you're not reading your Bible every day, but what that means is that God reciprocates what we initiate. The more we want Him and therefore seek Him, the more we will find and know Him. Just like Moses on the mountain. You remember that incident in the Old Testament where Moses is meeting face to face with God. And at a particular point he says, Oh Lord, I beseech Thee, show me Thy glory. He wanted to see more of the glory of God. He's already meeting with God, but that wasn't enough. He wanted more of God. You know what God said? It's in the Hebrew. I like that. It's not actually in the Hebrew, okay? But God said, okay, Moses, you want to see more of My glory? I tell you what, I like that request, and so I'm going to do that for you. But you can't see all My glory. You can't see the full glory of My face, or it would be too much for you. So I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and then you'll see My glory from the rear. And that's exactly what happened. And Moses got a view of the glory of God that nobody else with physical sight has ever seen. And why was Moses treated to that view of God? Because he asked. Because he desired the Lord. In the same way, God rewards all those who diligently seek Him. Yes, He will give us wisdom, but more than that, He will give us Himself. Because He and wisdom are one and the same. So the why. Why should we be having personal devotions? Why should we be seeking God in the Word? Why should we be listening to Him every day in the Scriptures? Why should we be gazing into God's Word, that mirror of God's Word, that glorious view of God on a daily basis? It's because, number one, our number one motivation should be because we love the Lord. And we desire to know Him better. But now let's go to point number two. That was the why. Now let's talk about the how, okay, the method for personal devotions. Point number two. Let's drop down, please, to verse number 34. 17 times 2, 34, okay? So this is our other verse this morning. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 32, and let's read from verse 32 to verse 34. Now therefore, hearken unto Me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep My ways. And you know what that is? Keeping the ways of God. That's continuing discipleship. That's what we're talking about. Walking in the ways of God. And so how do we do that? One critical piece of that is in verses 33 to 34. Look at 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth Me, watching daily at My gates, waiting at the posts of My doors. Now, there are two key action words in verse number 34 I want you to notice, and those are the words watching and waiting. The word watching means to stand guard or to be vigilant. The word waiting means to carefully watch over something or to pay very careful attention. And those two words together really highlight the first critical truth about how we should pursue God in His Word. Two truths in this verse about how we should be pursuing the Lord. Number one, we should seek Him diligently. The word early up in verse 17, by the way, means diligently, okay? Whatever you do early is your priority. That's the idea. We should be seeking God diligently. Now, when we were in Peru, one thing that we noticed is different about Peru than here in the United States is many of the houses have walls around them with sometimes even like spikes on the top of the wall or whatever, and then there'll be gates and doors and bars or gates in the wall. As a matter of fact, we were going door to door and through some neighborhoods there around the church in Trujillo, and it was different than going door to door here in the States where you have a row of houses and you walk up to each door, because it's more like you're walking down a sidewalk and there's this wall right next to the sidewalk, and so you had to get used to figuring out where one house starts and the next house begins. And we kind of got used to the fact that most houses had a bigger door in the wall for their garage and then a smaller door in the wall for the people, you know, to go in and out of. And many of those doors were very solid doors, and then they would have even times a wrought iron gate or something like that in front of that door. But in much the same way as those houses in Peru, what verse number 34 says is that wisdom owns a house with walls and gates around it where she invites people to come and hear her teaching. All right, so she is teaching people, and the blessed man of verse number 34 that is described here, this blessed person shows up at her door way before it is time for her to open her school for the day. I mean, he's there first thing in the morning, and he is eager, and he is ready to go and making it a priority to seek out her instruction as the very first thing in the day. Now, I'm trying to think of some illustrations of this kind of priority, and so I understand that there was some kind of a royal wedding yesterday, okay? And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you know what? If you got up at 1 a.m. to watch that wedding, that's watching and waiting, okay, in the sense of verse number 34. I did not do that, okay? But on Friday, before the wedding, they were interviewing a guy on the radio. I heard this interview on the radio. This guy was already camping out on the street in order to be there for that moment when the royal couple would go by. I mean, this guy was there well ahead of time, more than a day ahead of time, and he was out there on the street so that he would be ready for the big moment. Folks, that is diligence in the sense that we're learning here in this passage. That is dedication. What is it that makes him show up so early to make sure that he gets his place? It's because it's his priority. I think about shoppers on Black Friday. You know, many times people go out Black Friday shopping. I tend to stay in bed. But some people go out there when it's still dark, and they wait in line for hours to get into a certain store. They're there long before the doors ever open because there's something inside that they really want to have, and so they are willing to wait in line for many hours in order to get one of those things, whatever it is, because they don't want to miss out. And folks, in the same way, verse 34 here tells us that we should be showing up every day early to hear from God in his word, because we do not want to miss out on anything that he wants to say to us. We should be seeking God early as the first agenda item in our day. Now, of course, we can and we should seek God at other times. That's good. I mean, to get into the word at other times in the day, that's great, but those other times should be an addition to our first and best time for two reasons. First of all, because that is the kind of search that God has specifically promised to reward. And secondly, because we honor God by making our time with him the very first item on our agenda for the day. All right, as Matthew Henry said, it is fitting that he who is the first should have the first and be first served. And so, believer, if you really want to get to know God better, if you want to see more of his glory, if you want to learn more of his wisdom, if you want to hear his voice in the word, then you should be carving out some of your first and best time in your day to meet with God and to hear his voice in the scriptures. Not just giving him the leftovers of your time if you're giving Him any time at all. We should be seeking Him diligently, and then secondly, we should seek Him daily. Because verse 34 also says that the blessed man is watching daily at his gates. And so the application there for us is that we should be making time for personal devotions every single day. They should be your daily devotions. You should seek Him first, and you should seek Him without fail. If you want to hear the voice of God, you should get into God's Word early and every day. Not one day out of seven, not three out of seven, not even 5 for 7 or 6 for 7, but 7 days out of 7, 52 weeks out of the year. That's how we should seek God in His Word, every single day. And by the way, it is true that God has invited us to pray for wisdom. There's a wonderful promise of wisdom in the book of James to those who will ask of Him, but I think we also need to understand that promise in the context of all of Scripture, including our passage for this morning. So, believer, if you want wisdom, then first of all, you should be seeking it daily and diligently in His Word, and then you should ask God for specific wisdom for the need of the moment, whatever that need may be. But otherwise, if you're asking God for wisdom without having a life habit of daily and diligently seeking wisdom from God in His Word, it's kind of like asking God to help you make an A on the test when you never studied. Because when you ask God for wisdom, how is God going to answer that prayer? He's going to answer it in this way. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to apply the truths that you've already learned from this book. So you have to be in this book, so the Holy Spirit can help you with wisdom. Now, folks, this has been a very simple message this morning with a very simple point, but a very important point. And although I know that there are probably many in this room who are already faithfully meeting with God and His Word on a daily basis, I also know that there are probably many here today, truth be told, who are not meeting with God, reading the Bible on a daily basis. And so I want to encourage you this morning to daily and diligently seek God in His Word, because He is the number one desire of your heart. And you know what? If we don't do that, we're telling God, first of all, that we don't have time for Him. I mean, isn't that what we're saying? Lord, you know what? I know I should be in the Bible today. I know that I should read Your Word today, but I don't really have time for You today because I've got a lot to do. I got a lot of things going on I'd rather do, as a matter of fact, than actually spend time with You. So I don't really have time for You today, Lord. Not only are we telling Him that we don't have time for Him, we're also telling Him that we don't have need of Him. Whoops, I should go back here because I didn't mean to do that. All right. We're also saying that we don't have need of Him. I mean, we're saying basically, you know what, Lord, I don't really need Your help today. I mean, I don't really think I need the armor of God today before I go out in the spiritual battle. I think I can handle it just fine. I don't really think I need any daily manna from Your Word today. I think I can get by with what I had at church last Sunday. I don't really think that I really need You today, Lord, to fill me up. I think I can serve You okay today in the strength of my flesh. We're saying to the Lord that we don't have need of Him. And then third, we're also telling Him that we don't really have much love for Him. Because if you love somebody, you delight to spend time in their presence. If you are devoted to the Lord, then you will have your personal devotions. So just one very simple question by way of application. Are you, as a born-again child of God, seeking God daily and diligently in His Word? And maybe more to the point, will you seek God daily and diligently in His Word from now on? If you are already consistently maintaining a life habit of daily devotions, daily personal devotions, then I just want to encourage you, don't quit. Keep that up and grow your time with God. If maybe you've tried in the past, but somehow you fell by the wayside, you know, you made a decision at a certain point, I'm going to start reading the Bible every day, or maybe you did for a few days, or a few weeks, or a couple of months, and then you got out of the habit, you fell by the wayside, then what you need to do is you need to get back up and get back into the race. Folks, anytime we drop the ball in the Christian life, the solution is very simple. Just pick the ball back up and keep on running. But then if you've never had a consistent habit of spending time in God's Word every day, then there's no better time than now to start. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Read a portion of God's Word every single day. And yes, it's fine to read other devotional books, and there are many devotional books and resources out there, but please understand that none of those is a substitute for the Word of God. They can supplement, but they're not a substitute. This is where you'll hear the voice of God. So you need to be reading a portion of God's Word every single day, and then meditate on what you have read, and specifically meditate on it by meditating on the answers to these three basic questions, okay? First of all, what did I learn about God from this passage? Secondly, what did I learn about myself? And third, how should I apply this passage to my life? That's just a very basic way of having devotions and meditating on the Word of God. But as you meditate on the answers to those questions from the passage of Scripture that you have just read, then do what God wants you to do. Obey the voice of the Lord, because that is wisdom, and that is also discipleship. Would you bow your heads with me, please? The invitation today is going to be number 222. Speak, Lord.